This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hello, this is Spencer Maine. You are listening to my dad on the Handgun World Podcast.
Hello, shooters. I'm Bob Maine. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Well, this is episode 423. I'm in the mobile studio driving to a shooting competition match. I'm going to go shoot with the AASA club today, American Action Shooting Association. It's not a real big competition club. It's mainly here in South Texas, from what I understand. But they're a lot of fun. One of the things I like, I've mentioned it before to you folks, but one of the things I like is they allow the shooters to load magazines to full capacity, for example, and we get to reload any way that we wish. That's a lot of fun. You know, if you think about it, isn't that what you're really going to do in real life? You're going to load magazines to full capacity, and you're going to reload pretty much as you wish or as you need to, as you feel like the situation dictates. So I think it's quite much more realistic than some of the competition shooting matches that exist in IDPA and USPSA. Now, there are gamers at AASA, just like there are in any competition shooting sport. When I go there, I don't game it. I'm wearing my concealed carry. I'm wearing my everyday summer clothing. It's summer here in San Antonio, and it is hot. It's supposed to be 101 today. Of course, not this morning while I'm out shooting. So I'm just wearing cargo shorts, and I'm just wearing a pullover shirt. And that's the way I roll, in tennis shoes. That's the way I roll in the summer in San Antonio quite a bit. So guess what? That's how I'm going to shoot. And, you know, when I first started shooting at the AASA club, you know, some of them made comments about me, not derogatory comments, just kind of observatory comments, like, oh, hey, this guy's shooting it defensively, or, you know, shooting completely from concealment. Wow, look at that. And, that's what I want to practice. I personally don't believe, well, I don't want to put the time in to become a top-level competition shooter. I just don't want to do that. I don't have the time to do that. I'm way too busy, got way too much going on with my real job and my real life to be able to put the time in to be a master-level competition shooter. I wish I could do that. I think that would absolutely be fun, but that's just not going to be possible in my life right now at this point. Not sure if it's ever going to be possible. Now, I feel like I'm a decent shooter, don't get me wrong. People have shot with me. Some of them beat me. But I feel like I'm pretty decent and I can hold my own. So I go to these matches to practice the way that I conceal carry and hopefully never have to pull my gun to shoot anybody. But if I find myself in that situation, I hope that all this practice and training I've had over the years pays off. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm carrying my Sig Sauer P229 Legion, and that's what I'm going to shoot today. I'm going to shoot my 229 Legion series. I need to spend more time shooting this gun. I just really do. It's a fantastic gun. It's an absolutely fantastic gun. I need to get to know and learn how to shoot the double action, single action trigger. Now, on the Legion series, it's exceptionally good. It's an exceptionally good trigger. I believe it's a trigger designed by Bruce Gray. And I'm impressed. It's a double-action trigger that I can get used to as long as I spend the time with it. And the single-action trigger is magnificent. And the grips are great. The sights are great. Everything about this gun is really good. And even the weight, it's an aluminum gun, so it's aluminum frame. So even the weight of this gun is good. and the balance and everything and the feel. So I'm going to spend more time. My commitment for the rest of this year is to spend more time with this gun and get better with it. I need to be able to become more proficient with double action, single action guns, especially because a lot of students that I have the pleasure of teaching are bringing these types of guns to class. Now, I mentioned in the last episode that the class that I'm teaching with Paul Carlson and Ben Branham is probably going to be the last one that I'm going to be involved in teaching for a while, because I need to improve my shooting skills. At some point, I will get back into instruction. I'm fairly sure I'll get back into instruction at some point, but I'm going to take a little bit of a break from it. I just need to, because I need to improve my shooting skills. I feel guilty taking people's money and not having the sharpest shooting skills that I possibly can have for myself. And again, you know, somebody doesn't have to be the world's greatest shooter to be able to teach you. A lot of people have great teaching skills, fantastic teaching skills. They can get the point across, and they can help people improve, and they can motivate, and they can teach. Some people have fantastic shooting skills, but they might not be a world-class shooter. And there are a lot of world-class shooters that can't teach anybody how they do what they do. Some can. Some cannot. But I want to be better. I want to be better. And then I'll feel better about teaching you if you come to one of my classes. So I'm going to dedicate the rest of 2017 and probably all of 2018 to shoot a lot. I want to shoot a lot. And I want to get better. And there's a lot of things I need to work on. I'm working on getting in better shape right now, better physical condition. I've lost 10 pounds in the last about 2.5 months. And I've rejoined the health club I used to be a member of. And once I can get in a little bit better shape, I think my son and I will sign back up for Krav Maga. I had to stop Krav Maga 3 years ago because I got cancer and I had to go through chemotherapy and all that. But praise God, hopefully that's behind me now. And hopefully God has decided now to allow me to be able to get you know, move on and do all this stuff that I want to do. It's His will, and His will be done. So I do need to take a quick break for a second, and I'll be right back. All right, so that's my plan. Sorry, I had to take a brief phone call there to make a little money, actually. Even on a Saturday, I work when I need to, when it calls for it, so I can continue to support myself and my family and be able to do this podcast and talk to you. Speaking of that, don't forget that Concealment Solutions is a sponsor of this show, so please show them love when you need a holster, especially a good on-the-belt holster. Anything that they make, the Inside the Waistband Black Mamba or Black Mamba CE, the Cobra Outside the Waistband, even the pocket holsters, and the horizontal mag carriers by Mag Holders, by magholder.com, excuse me. Anything that Jason sells at concealmentsolutions.com is good stuff. He even custom makes holsters for you if you want. If you use the coupon code HANDGUNWORLD, you'll get 10% off your order. HANDGUNWORLD, 10% off your order, except for the belts. And I got to say something about the belts. Jason's Python gun belts are fantastic, man. I love those things, especially when I need to have a belt that doesn't look like a gun belt, but it really is a gun belt. And you know, even pocket carrying a gun, it's important to have a gun belt for pocket carrying. A lot of people don't think about that. For me, I don't know about for you, especially guys, I'm talking to the guys out there, a gun belt really helps, you know, because I'm adding that weight if I'm carrying in the pocket. And it just seems to really help support the weight and keep my pants up better, and also it's just a lot more comfortable if I'm actually using a gun belt. Even if I have to tuck my shirt in, there are times when I'm doing my business, my full-time job, and I got to tuck my shirt in. And when I have to do that, I still wear a Python gun belt. I wear a horsehide version of the Python gun belt, and I really like it, and it looks great. Looks like a nice dress belt, but it's a gun belt. So there you go. Check out concealmentsolutions.com. Concealmentsolutions.com. Let's not forget, what we have, what we carry on our body is all part of a system. It's all part of a system that has to work together. And if there's one weak link in the system, then the whole system can be weak, just like as with the old chain analogy. It's strong as its weakest link. And if you don't have a quality holster or a quality belt or a quality gun or quality ammunition, or if you don't have quality skills, would you agree? That's all part of your system. And I don't know about you, but if I'm in a fight for my life, if I have to defend myself or defend the life of a loved one, I want there to be the top quality of everything. This is my life I'm talking about. And we carry guns, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a right to life. Would you agree? You know, I make a joke about it. Oh, I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And that's a catchy little phrase. Really, I carry a gun because I believe in the right to life. If you're a pro-life believer, you know, pro-life is not just only applicable to the abortion issue. How about pro-life for people that are also currently living? It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts when religious organizations ban guns and then they claim to be pro-life. How do they do that? Guns save lives. Thousands of times a day, they save lives as well. So if you're, again, if you're pro-life, how can you be anti-gun? I don't get that. How do people reconcile pro-life with anti-gun when guns save a lot of lives? I'd venture to say guns save more lives every day, or people with guns save more lives every day than the lives that are taken by people with guns. And, you know, I should quit saying that guns save lives. Good people with guns save lives. Good guys with guns save lives. Bad guys with guns take lives. Bad guys are going to take lives no matter what they have, because they're bad guys and they take lives, and that's what they do. And good guys are going to save lives no matter what they have, because they're good guys and that's what they do. Think about all that. All right, another quick break. And I got some more to say after I finish up my competition match. I'm almost there, so I'm going to start mentally getting ready. And I hit a little bit of unexpected traffic. So I'm going to go ahead and stop here and resume. Well, for you, I'm going to resume in just about a minute. For me, it'll be about 3 to 4 hours. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Denny from the Pro Arms Podcast, reminding you that this podcast is a member of the Self Defense Radio Network. Check out the other podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
Hey, this is Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society Podcast. You know, a long time ago, I was looking for a tactical mall ninja podcast, and I fell upon this one, and I like this much better. You're listening to Bob Main and the Handgun World Podcast, a practical show for a practical guy like me.
Okay, back in the mobile studio on the way home. What a great match. By the way, for those of you that don't know, my new mobile studio is my 2006 4Runner. Yeah, it's actually still pretty old, I guess. Almost 12 years old, but found a good deal on a nice 4Runner. Only had 58,000 miles when I bought it. I think I got it up to about 66 or 67,000 original miles. And I like these third generation 4Runners, especially with the V8, 4.7 liter V8. I like it. Good combination. Anyway, the AASA match I just shot. Hey, some cool stuff I saw there, and some neat things that happened. I want to say particular mention to to a guy named John. John is one of our recent students. And, John, I know you're listening. I want to say I'm very impressed with you showing up and shooting the entire match with his Glock 26. I think that's awesome. You know, showing up and shooting your carry gun. I just don't see enough of that. I shot my SIG Legion P229, as I told you, and I really liked it. I did well. The 229 has a marvelous single action trigger. After the first stage, I got warmed up, and after the first stage, I was able to really rock that single action trigger and get pretty quick with it. I did have a couple of brain farts and made some mental mistakes just because I haven't shot competition much in a long time. And that's what happens when you're kind of out of practice. I got to make sure I'm not so much out of practice when it comes to competition. So I really am liking that SIG Legion. For a while I thought maybe I might have to give my Legion a new home, but you know what? The more I shoot it, it's like anything else. The more you shoot it, the better you get, the more you learn to appreciate it. And I didn't have any problem, no problem at all, making the transition from double action to single action. I always thought I would. And one of the biggest reasons I stuck my neck out, I took the plunge, spent a decent amount of money buying this P229 Legion, 9mm by the way, is because I wanted to get one of the best double action, single action guns, hammer fired guns that I could get my hands on. And at the time, that was one of the best. And I really, really like it. The great thing about this gun is right out of the box, it's ready to go. You don't have to do anything to it. It's got fantastic sights, fantastic grips, excellent trigger. And, you know, you get three mags with it. And 315 round mags. All you got to do is pick up a holster and some mag pouches and you're ready to go. So that's one thing I'm very, very impressed with. There's, you know, you don't have to make any modifications to this pistol to make it a fine shooting gun. And of course, we all know it comes down to how well the shooter can shoot. But the 229 Legion really makes it a lot easier to get to that higher level. I'm convinced of that. Again, I was under the misconception for a long time that double action, single action guns are hard to get used to making that, you know, transition from the first long double action trigger press to shorter, lighter, crisper single action trigger presses for every shot after that, but I'm not having any problem with it. One reason could be because of the already good double action trigger. Just a thought. So once I got the first stage jitters out of the way and I was able to kind of get back into the swing of things and remember what competition shooting is all about, it was a fun time. So next, and actually one of the main topics that I wanted to discuss in this episode, because I am in the mobile studio and I'm carrying, obviously, like I always carry whenever I can carry a weapon, I do. I want to talk about vehicle carry. I've talked about this before, but I've learned something that not everybody who listens to me listens to every episode. Some of you have, some of you haven't. And I've kind of changed my thoughts and my methods a little bit on vehicle carry. Pick a gun, any gun that you want to carry while you're in your vehicle. And I'll say this, if you really want the gun to be a self-defense gun, I would not suggest off-body carry when you're in your vehicle. Once again, I would not suggest off-body carry when you are in your vehicle. Now, you have to know the laws in your state. Every state could have different laws regarding carrying in your vehicle. So I'm not going to profess to be an expert on the laws of your state. But whenever you can and whenever possible, carry in whatever method that you are allowed to carry, but keep the gun on you. Maybe you might find a cross-draw holster is good for carrying. The seatbelt doesn't get in the way of the gun too easily in cross-draw carry. So maybe you can find a holster that allows you to cross-draw carry. I like appendix carry when I'm in the vehicle. And I know a lot of people have a problem with that. A lot of people say, you know, hey, Bob, I've been criticized before a long time ago, several years ago. I've been criticized for carrying appendix while I'm in the car because if I draw the gun, I'm going to sweep myself. Oh, my God. You know, yes, I'm going to sweep myself. I am. Pretty much any way that I carry on my body in a car, I've got a pretty good chance of pointing the muzzle at an arm or a leg. I got a pretty good chance of that, no matter how I carry on my body. Even if I were to use a shoulder holster, if I got to draw that gun at some point, there's probably a pretty good likelihood. Even if I have a chest, if I'm driving around with some kind of a chest rig and I'm able to carry that handgun like in front of my chest or something, it's still, you know what, when the crap hits the fan and someone is shooting at you while you're in your car or trying to carjack you or whatever is going down and you gotta be in your car, you're gonna get nervous. You're going to get nervous and you're really going to freak out. I promise, unless you've really trained extensively, you're going to get nervous and you're going to freak out. Keep your finger off the trigger and go to work and fight. I wouldn't worry, and again, please don't hammer me on gun safety and tell me that I'm not an advocate of safe gun handling. If any of you have ever taken a class that I've taught, or if you've ever been out shooting with me, you know I'm all about safety. But I don't want to carry safety so far that I'm unable to defend myself properly if someone wants to harm me or one of my loved ones. I don't see the point. I don't see the point in constricting your ability to fight in the name of a level of safety that is, I think, way too overemphasized. And again, I'm going to say one more time so people don't get the wrong idea. I'm not against the safety rules of gun handling. I just think that you want to do things that are going to be able to give you a chance to fight. So I like appendix carry when I'm driving, especially if I'm going to drive long hours. Now, sometimes I will carry on my right hip. I'm carrying my Legion 229 right now on my right hip while I'm driving home. And I move it forward of my hip a little bit so that I position it just in the right spot so that when I draw, it's not going to hit the seat belt. But the seats I have in my Forerunner allow me to be able to still reach back there. And I untuck my shirt just a little bit and I kind of pull my shirt up over the gun's grip just a little bit. It's still concealed, but I have it up over the gun's grip a little bit so that it's really easy for me to get my gun out and not have my shirt in the way when I'm doing that. Now, again, hopefully I can either use my vehicle as a weapon if I have to, or I can use my vehicle to get out of the area quickly. And those are my first two preferences. Get out of the area or use my vehicle as a weapon if I have to. I'm only talking about what happens if those two options all of a sudden are no longer available and you got to fight. And you either have to fight from your car or you got to fight while you're in your car because someone's trying to get in your car or whatever. Or maybe you need to get out of your car, but the second you step out of your car, you got to fight. So all of these scenarios I want you to think about when vehicle carrying. Some people think that you need to downsize your gun when you vehicle carry. That's up to you. I would suggest, I really like appendix carry for a lot of reasons. And if you have to appendix carry while you're in your car or truck or whatever it is that you drive, and you need to downsize your gun to be able to do that, hey, that's better than not carrying on your body when you're driving. And that's another reason why I don't like off-body carry when I'm driving, is because if I got to get out of my car, I want my gun to be with me. Unless I'm, you know, going into a gun-free zone, which I don't do very often, I want that gun to be with me when I get out of my car. And it's much harder to take that gun with me when I'm off-body carrying, because then I gotta get it out of wherever it is, and I gotta put it in the holster, and I have to take those extra steps. And if I'm in a hurry, I may not be able to do that. So eventually you're going to get out of your vehicle, folks. What's your plan for when you get out? Even if you're not fighting, you're just getting out of your vehicle, but you do want to carry, it's so much better if you're carrying the gun on you. Carrying the gun on your body is always 100% safer than carrying your gun anywhere else. I'll say that again, especially for you ladies who like to carry in a purse or some kind of a bag. Carrying a handgun on your body is always safer and more effective than carrying anywhere else. And notice I said it's also more effective. You know, when I say more effective, it also means you can access and use the gun so much easier if it is someplace in a good secured holster on your body, where you are able to access it quickly. It's not too hard for a big, strong man to get a purse away from a woman, especially if she's not suspecting that he's there about to get her purse. It's much more difficult, ladies, for a big, strong man to get that gun off your body. You got a lot more defense. You can defend yourself a lot easier if the gun is on your body. You can even protect against a gun grab a lot easier if the gun's on your body. Much more difficult if it's in your purse. But back to vehicle carry. If you're in your vehicle and you have to access it quickly, or you need to get out, on the body carry is so much better. Now, I've seen special holsters that mount like underneath the steering column, or they mount in various places in the vehicle. Those are okay. I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but once again, that gun's off your body. And no matter how quick you can access that gun, it's still off of your body, and it's much more difficult. Time-consuming, usually. It'll be more time-consuming to get to that firearm. Always be sure that you are wearing your holster, even if you're off-body carrying your gun in your car, for the simple purpose, as I mentioned before, what if you have to get out of your vehicle? What if you're stranded somewhere? What if your vehicle breaks down for some reason? Or what, maybe it's not a vehicle breakdown, but some other unexpected event happens, and you didn't get to your destination properly, but you've got to get out of your car. If you don't have your holster with you, what are you going to do with your gun? How are you going to carry it and carry it safely and effectively? Wear your holster even if you're off-body carrying your gun in your vehicle. Again, I don't suggest off-body carry, but have a holster and a good belt. Are you seeing the theme here? It's always important to have a good holster and a good belt. One thing I would not suggest doing when you're vehicle carrying is don't carry in your pocket. Try getting a gun out of your pocket when you're sitting in your vehicle. Try that. Especially if you stuck a small gun, a small pocket 380 or something like that, and it's deep into your pocket. Like these cargo shorts I'm wearing have big pockets. And if I stuck my little car P380 in there by chance and it was way in there, whew, you know how hard that is to get that thing out of my pocket while I'm in my vehicle? And I have to fight while I'm in my vehicle? Forget it. It'd be too hard and too long, and I'd be concerned about my safety on that, because as I'm pulling that gun out of my pocket, my tendency is going to be, my trigger finger might head towards that trigger way too much because I'm nervous and I'm wrestling that gun out of my pocket. So I would not recommend doing that. I'm not saying it's unsafe. I'm just saying it's not effective, in my humble opinion, when pocket carrying. Even if it's a revolver. You know, one great thing about revolvers, people like to say, is because if they're carrying it in a coat pocket, they can shoot from inside the coat pocket, for example. It's harder to do that with a semi-automatic pistol. Matter of fact, you might turn your semi-automatic pistol into a single shot gun if you do that, because you're probably going to get a jam if you're firing that from inside of a piece of clothing, but not so with a revolver. But I still don't like the idea of carrying a revolver in a pocket, even if it's a coat pocket, when you're in your vehicle, because you got a seat belt on. You got, if you're driving, you got a steering wheel in front of you. And it's just, those are things that can a lot of times get in the way of getting a gun out of a coat pocket. So now, if you're a lefty, maybe. If you're a lefty and you got that revolver in your right front inside coat pocket, for example, yeah, then you can probably reach across your seatbelt and grab that revolver out of your coat pocket. That might be real convenient. Might be an exception if you're a lefty. Problem is, if you're driving and you're a right-hander and you got that in your right side inside coat pocket, you know, you got a seatbelt sort of somewhere around there. Even if you got your coat out over the seatbelt, you still got things in the way. I don't like things that are in the way. I don't like things that I could end up touching before I touch my gun. The only thing I want to touch before I touch my gun is whatever cover garment, whatever shirt that I got to move out of the way to get to my gun. That's all I want to do. That's the only thing I want to think about. That's the only step in a high-stress encounter, is just clear my cover garment and get the gun. Clear my shirt, get the gun. Clear my coat, get the gun. Whatever it is. If I'm not driving, if I'm standing, jam that hand into my pocket, get that gun out of the pocket, and that's all I have to worry about. So there's some things to think about in vehicle carrying. Please don't just throw your pistol in the glove box of your truck and think that you're good, think that that's okay. There's a lot of things wrong with just throwing a pistol in the glove box of your truck or glove box of any vehicle. It's going to bounce around in there. It might not be in the same position that you put it in when you opened up your glove box and stuck it in there. Plus, if you have to get to that gun and you got to get to it quickly, how quickly can you really reach over, drop open your glove box, get that pistol out of there, and fight with it? Have you practiced that? How long does it take you? Have you had somebody stand next to you or sit next to you or whatever with a shot timer and time you? Oh, and by the way, what if you have a passenger in your car? In the passenger seat in the front. Now you got to reach across in front of the passenger and you got to pull that gun out of your glove box. What about all that? Don't put it in the console either, between the two seats. That's not as easy as you think to get it out of there. Now some of you drive pickups, and you have really convenient consoles. You have really convenient consoles in between the seats that you can get to. There are exceptions. I've seen trucks that are set up. I've seen pickups that are set up where it's really easy to get to that compartment and get your gun out. But the other thing you have to think about, if you've got one of those types of vehicles, the other thing you have to think about is, once again, what if you leave your vehicle? What if you leave it for an extended period of time? You going to leave that loaded pistol in the console or in the glove box of your truck or your car? If you're not going to a gun-free zone, do you have your holster on? Are you going to take your gun with you out of the truck and take it with you? These are things you got to think about when you're going to have a handgun in your vehicle. One of these days I'll talk about long gun carry in your vehicle, because that's vitally important. There's a lot of different things you do when you're long gun carrying in your vehicle, a rifle or a shotgun, but that's a different episode. I just want to close by saying, think about being both safe and effective. Safe and effective. Both of those things come into play, really, any way that you carry a gun, but especially when you're carrying a gun in your vehicle. If you have a comment or a question or some kind of a unique way that you carry in a vehicle, I'd like to hear what you have to say. You can call into the Handgun World Podcast voicemail, which is 210-646-1727. I get quite a few voicemails. I do cover them on the show. I did that last week. Thank you to all of you who call in, 210-646-1727. I love getting voicemails from listeners. It's a great experience for the listener and for me and for the caller and everything. So please keep those coming. Email is handgunworld@gmail.com. handgunworld@gmail.com. I am Handgun World on Twitter, Handgun World Podcast on Facebook. Wow, there's a gazillion ways that you can get a hold of me. So I would love to hear from you. Listener feedback is always one of my favorite things. And Ben Branham and I, we've got a lot of real good instructional videos on our Shooters Club. If you're not a member of our Shooters Club, you're really missing out on about 70 very, very instructional videos on concealed carry and how to become a better shooter. It does not replace training, but it really trains your mind. That's the most important thing. You know, I love what Ben says when he closes his podcasts. He says, your mind is the weapon, train it well. And, you know, Ben Branham is good at that. And that's what we do on the Shooters Club. We train your mind. We try to train it well. So for only $8 a month, you can take advantage of our Shooters Club videos, or $75 per year. Thanks to all of you who continue to use my Amazon store when you make your Amazon purchases. That's a great way to support my show, help me out a little bit, and you don't have to spend any extra money. Just go to handgunworld.com and click on my Amazon store first. Do that for each purchase that you make, and that'll help me out. You're going to buy the stuff anyway. So just after you go through my link, then log into your Amazon Prime account and purchase away. And thanks for the help. Okay, and the last thing I want to say about the competition match I went to, I sure noticed once again, as I always do when I go to these competition matches, there really is a huge difference between the gamers and the non-gamers. And there's really nothing wrong with either one. There's just a massive difference. Even the way that they shoot the stages, the strategy. My strategy is usually to try to shoot it as defensively as I can. Of course, I still want to get a good time. Of course, I want to get all hits. I don't want to have too many seconds added to my score for penalties and things like that. But I'm not going to rush it so fast and try to game it so much that I cause myself to miss. And I don't want to start developing bad habits. Like, for example, shooting through a doorway. We had to do that today. I ain't standing in the middle of the doorway, folks, and start blazing away at the targets. Why on earth would I want to stand right in the middle of the doorway? Well, that's what the gamers do. Because they're told, well, you got to shoot these few targets right here. From the, I call it a doorway, but I guess, you know, from, yeah, it's a doorway. It's a wide doorway. So they stand right in the middle of it and start shooting away. Well, if you've got bad guys out there with guns shooting back, I personally think tactically that's a bad idea. Keep behind cover or concealment as much as you possibly can while you're shooting. And there's certain techniques, you know, Ben and I teach certain techniques that make shooting behind cover or concealment a whole lot more effective. So that's how I try to shoot these competition matches. It might add a few seconds to my time doing that, but I'm not out there gaming it, not most of the time. But if you want to game it, if you want to do that, that's fine. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I go out with my Glock 34. I don't use a concealment garment. In the Texas heat, they usually make that optional, even though that's against, normally that's against most competition rules. They decide to do that. And sometimes I will go out there and game it. And sometimes if I want to game it, I'll just stand in the middle of the doorway and shoot away. But it's a bad habit I don't really want to develop if I can help it. So that's it for this episode. I said what I wanted to say on these two subjects. And once again, would love to hear from you if that's something that you want to do. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. Evil exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe, read your Bible every day, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.